Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
What's on church? I thought in this second session we'd just do a few things about you individually as leaders and volunteers, that are particularly in our personal relationship with God. So a little bit of a devotional, and I'll have you out of here by 9:30. So while in Scripture, John 15 verse 5 coming up right now. Jesus speaking, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain, or some translations say, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. How many would like a lot of fruit in your life? I think everyone wants to be fruitful. Jesus says the key to fruitfulness is keeping connected, abiding, remaining in me. I'm sure you've all seen a branch that's maybe recently cut off from a tree or a vine. It doesn't take too long before all the leaves die, the fruit dies because it's not connected. So Jesus is basically saying the greatest productivity comes from the depth of spirituality. And we all want fruit in our ministries, fruit in our life, productivity, but that comes from a deep connection, a deep relationship with Christ. Everyone agree and say amen?
Yeah.
Amen. The question is, how do we abide? How do we connect? How do we remain in relationship with Jesus? I've grown up in the church, and through my years, I've heard many different sermons and opinions of how you can have a really close relationship with Jesus. Some people will tell you, you've got to get up really early in the morning. And their favorite scripture is, early in the morning, I will rise up and seek you. Other people say, you know, if God wanted me to see the sunrise, he would have scheduled it a little later in the day. And they say, no, it's staying up late at night. And their favorite scripture is, at midnight, I will rise and see. You know, so some people are early, some people are late, some people say you've got to journal, other people say you've got to fast, some people say you've got to take a retreat, others say you've got to memorize lots of scriptures. I remember as a kid hearing one well-known preacher come to our church on a Sunday night saying, lest you spoke in tongues for an hour every day, you would never be close to God.
Oh.
An hour every day. I've since thought about the mother with two, three kids at home. So everyone's got an opinion about what you need to do to really be close to God. And what's easy to do is to find what works for you and project it onto somebody else. And what I find happens is a lot of people end up frustrated. They try one thing, and if it doesn't work, they come up with the myth that maybe being close to God's only for the select few rather than for me. My simple idea in this message is, just like we are unique in our looks, our personality, our spiritual gifts, our journeys, our love languages, could it be possible that we are all unique in how we connect with God? We all, like we have a unique fingerprint. You've done stuff on the love languages here, have you, before? So just like we have different ways of communicating and receiving love, maybe every one of us in this room are wired to connect in a unique way. And discovering that could be quite releasing. And so that's my simple idea. Let me give you a number of ways that people have found that they abide in Christ the most, that they keep connected to Christ throughout history. And I'm just going to give you five in our time together. As I'm going through these, just ask yourself, is this me? Or isn't this me? You will know pretty quickly. I'll just give some labels, but as I describe them. Number one, the first style of connecting. Again, they're all up there. I've got to do better with my PowerPoints. These are supposed to come up animated style. That's all right. I've messed that up a couple of times now. So just stay with me on number one, contemplative style. People who have this style love silence. They love solitude. They like time alone. They love to meditate. They love to reflect. Environment is important for them. Getting out in creation, being quiet, being unbusy really helps these people feel close to God. To others, these people can seem like their head is up in the clouds a little bit. They may be marching to a different drum beat. But the contemplatives of this world often are the great authors that we read, the great songwriters that we enjoy. We think of John the Apostle or Brother Lawrence or Henry Nouwen. And so contemplation, I wonder as I describe that, whether that resonates with you or it kind of freaks you out. Are you wired to be more of a contemplative person? First style. Second style is what we could call the intellectual style. These are people whose mind needs to be challenged for them to sense God. They love God's word. They love stimulating material. These are the people that really struggle when Pastor Rob has a visitor in and all they do is tell stories. Visiting preacher just tells stories and jokes. You know what they're saying? Where's the meat? Where's the meat? You know, froth and bubble kind of stuff, experience. They want theology. They want something to get their mind around, not just a story, not just your experience. Some of you, I'm talking to you right now. Think of Martin Luther. I mean, he was reading the Bible one day and he read that phrase, "The just shall live by faith." And the Holy Spirit energized those words, hit his mind, his heart, his spirit, and a reformation began. And so think of the Apostle Paul, Luther, Francis Schaeffer, C.S. Lewis, Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell. These are all the kind of apologists of this world who have been able to write and talk and get us thinking about ways that God exists and is and relates. And there's a bunch of people that are just wired that when there's their minds being touched, it's like God comes alive for them. Maybe that's you, or maybe that scares you a little bit. Number three is a serving style. There are other people in the room who, in helping others, in using your gifts, by being an instrument in God's hands, that's when you feel most alive in Christ. Ever see Chariots of Fire movie? Did you remember Eric Liddell, the Olympic runner in that movie? And remember that phrase where he goes, "When I run, God, I feel God's pleasure." Remember that? He says, "God made me fast. When I run, I feel God's pleasure." What's he saying? When I'm using and doing what I'm good at, I feel God. Some of you in this room, when you serve, the very act of using your gift, it's like God is nearer than at any other times. And some church leaders are like this. They love growth. They love challenge. They're going at top speed. They love action. They love being busy for the kingdom of God. I think it was George Whitefield that says, "It's better to burn out than to rust out." Unfortunately, he died at 55. True story. True story. Wesley lived a lot younger. D.L. Moody, William Booth, these people are unbelievable serving people. Mother Teresa, great quote of Mother Teresa. She became famous, won all these awards, spoke on platforms in front of thousands of people. Near the end of her life, she said this, "I feel most alive in Christ when I'm holding a sick person on the streets of Calcutta." What an amazing statement. Been there, done that, got all the awards, done all the platforms. When I'm holding a needy person, I feel most alive in Christ. Here's someone that's saying, you know, it's when I serve, it's in those moments that I feel more connected to God than at other times. Is that maybe your style? Number four is a relational style. People with this style, isolation doesn't really work. You know, praying alone, reading the Bible alone, serving alone. But if they get with others, if they can pray with other people, if they can study the Bible with other people, if there's a community aspect, they feel closer to God. Their favorite scripture is, "When two or three get together in my name, God shows up." And some people are just, you know, they're kind of wired relationally and they actually sense and feel God more in community than they sometimes do alone. And then number five is the charismatic style. People with this style, they love God's manifest presence. How many know God's everywhere at once? But there are times when we sense his presence. And so for people like this, things like prophecy or a vision or a dream or a healing or a prayer, you know, for them, if they come to church and, you know, there were two fast songs, three slow songs, an offering and a sermon and a prayer, well, God didn't show up, you know. But if something different happened, God turned up today. Hallelujah. You know, these are people who love the spontaneous, that they love the ministry time, they love music, where atmosphere is important. And so, you know, a lot of our charismatic Pentecostal roots are birthed right here. And so for many people, it's worship, atmosphere, spirit, something tangible happening, something unexpected. Those are the moments when they feel closer to God. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just a representative list of ways that people abide or connect with Christ. And so we're going to now put this very simple teaching into practice. Onto the next slide. Thanks, Daniel. And again, they're all up there, but stick with the number one. First of all, identify your primary abiding style. Don't choose the one you'd like. Don't choose the one you think you should have. Ask yourself honestly, out of those five areas, which one would you describe yourself the most? Now, you might have more than one, but just think about your particular style. Out of interest, how many would say I'm a little bit more of a contemplative person? Moments, times aside, creation, solitude. Okay, quite a few in the room today. Just be a little quiet around these people. Just give them a little bit of space. Give them a little space. How many would say you are a little bit more the intellectual? You love theology, stimulating, apologetics. You downloaded every Ravi Zacharias podcast. Okay, a number of people with their hands up. If you want to know why there's suffering in the world, just chat to these people afterwards. They have the answer for you. Thirdly, how many would say yours is more the serving style? You know, you're just, when you're doing something, okay, well, lots of people. If you want something done, just ask one of these people here. Serving style. Relational style. How many would say something about getting with other people? Come on. Where's all the relational people? Yeah. Give these people a hug afterwards.
Yes!
High five. Bang, bang. Okay, how many would say you're the charismatic style? Come on, worship, prayer, prophecy, God kind of showing up. All right, come on. If you're feeling a little unwell tonight, get one of these people to pray for you. So, first step is identify your primary style. How has God shaped me? Second step is to arrange your life around it. Sounds so simple, but is very powerful. If you're a contemplative, don't fill your entire week with appointments. Simple as that. Create space, create time. If God's wired you that way, then arrange your life around it. Contemplatives, book some free days, some free time, so you can get that quiet space. If you're an intellectual person, then seriously, you know, why lean into that? You know, get in every Bible college class and reading, and you know, go ahead and lean into that. If you're more the serving person, you know, volunteer for three ministries in the church. It's okay. You're not going to burn out. If you're the relational person, join three connect groups. It's okay. You know, if that's the way God has made you. You know, if you're the charismatic kind of type, again, I mean, don't miss a prayer. Everyone else shouldn't miss a prayer meeting either, but be at every prayer meeting. Get a worship CD for the car, the bathroom. Just arrange your life. Just say, this is the way God has shaped me. And so I'm going to adapt my world so that I've got time to connect with God in this way. Number three, really important, is accept others who may be different. You could be married to someone who's very different than you. Don't project onto them what they need to be doing. It's very easy. Why don't you do this? You should be doing it. No. Accept others who are different. And listen, give them permission to connect with God the way they do. Give them permission. Release them and actually help them to do what works for them. Number four is really, really important, is learn other ways of connecting. We've got to learn to appreciate all of them while recognizing our primary one. Did you know that every one of these styles taken to an extreme has that weakness attached to it? Contemplatives who only want to contemplate end up in monasteries. Yeah. Think about it. Well, why did monasteries happen? Because people who had contemplative ways of connecting with God said, I'm just going to leave the world behind and I'm going to go and contemplate. Hey, lean into contemplation, but how many know we actually need relationships to grow? You know, my kids, as they grew up, I would date them one by one. I still do a little bit of that. But, you know, any of my kids by themselves were always angelic. But you put the three of them in the back seat of a car and something demonic would emerge. You know what I'm talking about? But see, we actually need relationships to grow. You can't just contemplate. You need to serve. If you just lean on the intellectual side, how many know you can actually get fairly skeptical and you fail to realize that you can't understand God fully through your mind? There's an element of faith. There's an element of mystery to the ways of God. And so intellectuals need to learn to appreciate the presence of God and those things. A serving person, if you're not careful, you'll become a Martha who just, you know, serves, and you get pretty uptight because you're running the world while God's on a holiday. You know, serving people need to learn to be still and to do those other things. Relational's good, but we can become too dependent on other people. We don't have our own relationship with God. Charismatic, love charismatic, but just read 1 Corinthians if you're more of a charismatic. Remember, it's about love. And there are some mornings you get up, you don't actually feel God. But guess what? He's there. You can't build your lives on feelings because the feelings aren't always there. We build our lives on truth. God, you are with me whether I feel you today or not. And so we have to learn other ways of connecting with God. How many know Jesus lived all of these in full balance? How many, when you lift your hands up before, how many have all five in perfect balance? That's why you didn't lift your hand up. Thank you, Pastor Rob. Jesus was a contemplative. There's little phrases in the Gospels where it says, Jesus dismissed the crowd. Meaning's up. Jesus went off into a mountainside by himself to pray. Jesus had a huge contemplative part of his life. Jesus also was, you talk about intellectual, he was the Word. We're still trying to figure out his parables. Come on. You talk about the Word. Jesus was a servant. He could take up a towel and wash people's feet at the door coming in from the dusty roads. Jesus was relational, did life in community, and Jesus was full of the Spirit. And so Jesus had all five of these. And so thinking of ways, so lean into the one that's your primary style, but also learn to appreciate and to develop the other areas. I've got a fifth point that's actually not up there. I think this is a really good thing to consider the leadership implications of this insight. Consider the leadership implications of this insight. Another thing I love about Bayside is the permission and the encouragement of all five of these within your community. See, what you can get is if you get a leader with one of these styles, if you're not careful, you'll end up with a church with only that style. Of course, a contemplative church with a leader, they don't meet anyway, so it's not a real problem. But, you know, you get an intellectual leader and everything's notes with fill-ins. Sorry, did I? Did you just get rid of them?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's part of the
news. Okay. So, you know, you get an intellectual teaching leader and everything's structured and ordered and notes and, you know, you get a serving leader and, you know, we're going to take the world. It's everything, you know. You get a relational leader and everything's a barbecue and, you know, it's food and, you know, or you get a charismatic leader, it's clear the chairs, you know. Ministry time. And you know, they're all good. But the danger is you don't actually want to build a community that only has one way. Otherwise, you'll only attract that kind of person. You won't attract other people. And all people actually feel uncomfortable. We want to trade. And this can go right down to your connect group level.
Yeah.
So, see, it was amazing as I had your hands lifted up. You've got people from all five of these in the church right here. Yeah. And so what does it look like in a connect group, in a youth ministry, in a church to create an environment where we're actually encouraging and modeling and giving permission in all of these different ways of connecting with Christ. We do this together. In fact, the Greek word where it says, actually Jesus, when he says abide in Christ, he's actually talking to them as a group, not just individually, but as a community. What does it look like for us to stay connected with Christ? If you like this little thought, there's a book called Streams of Living Water by Richard Foster. All of you book lovers, Streams of Living Water by Richard Foster. It's really thick. He does an extensive look at these and I think one more all through history. And he actually looks at the strengths and weaknesses of these ways of connecting with faith. And so if you found tonight's teaching helpful and want to go a little deeper, Streams of Living Water by Richard Foster does a huge historical look at the charismatic, the more word-based, the more contemplative, and looks at what happens when they get a little out of balance and what we can glean from all of them. So, just a simple devotional thought for you to finish up tonight. Said we'd finish before 9:30. So as you think about your own personal life, Jesus said to his disciples, abide. Abide, keep connected to me, and if you do, you'll bear great fruit. And that's God's will for your individual life, is that you be incredibly fruitful in your life, your relationships, your ministry, your workplace, your family. Fruitfulness comes from that connectedness. And so I pray that I've found this simple message for many people is incredibly releasing. Yeah. It's like you go, oh, wow. And sometimes it's just a label for you to go, yeah, I'm more that and I'm not that. Now I understand why I find that a little hard, or why think of the. And it's really just taking time to think about, when have you felt closest to God? When have you sensed his presence the most? And think about whether there's something there in the way God's uniquely created you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Bayside Church. Thank you for the journey they're on. And I just pray a huge blessing on Rob and Christy tonight. Thank you for them as the leaders here. And Lord, I just pray for a real fresh touch of your spirit to be upon both of them, Lord God, and their family, Lord God. Fresh oil, fresh anointing for this next season, Lord. We move through seasons. Every church is in a season. And Lord, this is a new season you're bringing Bayside into. And I thank you for Rob and Christy. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, through the mountaintops and the valleys, through the sunny days and the stormy days. I thank you for a man and woman of integrity and, Lord, of incredible faithfulness and trust in you through all the seasons, Lord God. And so I just pray a blessing upon them, that I just think of Joseph, who you gave a new coat every season. And I just pray for that new mantle and that new anointing. It's going to be a little, it's still them, but it's a little different color. It's a little different nuance. It's a little different flavor. And so I just pray as they take that new mantle, they've grown. They're not the same as they were. They're changing. They're growing. And I pray, Lord, as you bring that new mantle upon them, Lord, you're just going to continue to build this church. You're going to attract. I just see this church being like a honeypot and bees. I just see there's already an attractiveness here, but I see an acceleration of what's happening here. And it's just natural. It's just the overflow of good people and you working in their hearts and just people buzzing. I just see people buzzing around this place because there's something good here. And it's not hypey. It's not flashy. It's genuine. There's depth. And so I just thank you, Lord, for this new season on the church. And I pray for every leader here tonight, Lord, just lift off that weight of striving and struggling and trying in our own strength. Jesus, you just said, abide. I've never walked by a tree and heard it grunting or groaning. It's just abiding. There's a peace, there's a rest to it. It's just, even in the quiet, it's drawing that strength from the root. And I just pray for all of us to just understand how you've made us uniquely, and that we would just stay connected with you. And as we do so, great fruit would flow out of our lives. Bless every leader here today. And I pray for Bayside for the rest of this year, just for your favor and goodness to continue to be on the church. We'll be sure to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone said amen. Amen. Hey, it's been fun being with you tonight. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.